This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
No days off! No days off! No days off! No days off!
This is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
This microphone week. Put up a little less fight than the one last night.
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Mr. Dot-Commer.
On WEEI.com.
Podcast, our first game podcast. Previewing Patriots-Dolphins, Sunday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. It's turned into a pretty marquee game on the NFL schedule with Mac Jones getting the start. Tua obviously being on the Dolphins, you know, Brian Flores, Bill Belichick. Should be a good game.
Also two teams that I think just in general are tweener unknowns or cusp playoff contender type teams. In a league where, I don't know if you've noticed this in a lot of the power rankings and, oh, this offense and ranking that, there's like a pretty quick drop off and then a jumbled mass of, I'd say, 5 through 16, somewhere in there in the NFL, where you can see varying. Like, I think it was Stephen A. Now, I take it with a grain of salt because I think they do these lists to get attention, and the best way to get attention is the Patriots. It's just one of the realities. Cowboys, Patriots, those are some of the clickbait teams. But the Patriots have the 5th best offense in the NFL. Like,
have they seen their receivers?
Their receivers, like, the unknown of the quarterback, the running back, the tight ends, like there's nothing to build. Like Jacoby Myers and the offensive line are the constants, right? Like everything else is, and I'm not like, you know me, I think Jonnu Smith's going to be awesome, but you can't put him in striking distance of a team like, I don't know, the Chiefs, that it's continuity. You know exactly who it is, what it is, how it's going to work. They're all elite coaching. So some of that's ridiculous, but getting back to the game, I think there's unknown and the excitement of the quarterbacks, like the Alabama thing, but also, you know, does the AFC East have two new franchise quarterbacks? Well, one of them, you know, Tua still has some questions to answer. Mac obviously is a complete unknown, although the hype, I mean, if you believe our John Anderson, you know, there's no chance that anyone other than him will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. It is a fun matchup to some degree. I wouldn't say it's, you know, Cowboys Bucks opener that we're going to see on Thursday night, but it is a fun matchup.
I we'll start with the quarterbacks, like Mac specifically. Like I've noticed all the players that have talked about Mac have kind of said the same things. Like there, it's not just one person hyping Mac Jones up. It's everybody saying the same thing with how well prepared he is. And so that just kind of, I want to see it, but I feel pretty good knowing that Mac Jones could actually be a solid quarterback.
Yes. I mean, I think the floor is solid. I don't know where the ceiling is. I'll be honest. I'm not, you know, even though I was the first person.
I don't even think they know.
No. And he doesn't. No one can know. But the floor, I think, is good. And the first thing that I think is most important is the attitude, the leadership, the magnetism, the respect, whatever that concoction is that he naturally brings, is the foundation. Even more so, I know Chris Gasper was really going down the road with Bill this week and Mac of decision making and accuracy. Yeah, I think those are important, don't get me wrong, but I think, you know, it's so funny because we mock it and we mocked Charlie Weiss a little bit. I think he kind of started way back in January, February, before it was Patriots and Mac Jones, whatever, it was Mac Jones has it. And son of a bitch, Mac Jones has it. Like, I don't know what it is. And I even saw, you know, friend of the podcast, Mike Giardi, did a hit on, Football Morning in America or whatever it's called on NFL Network. Good Morning Football, whatever the hell it's called. and what did he say? He's like a sneaky ass or a...
Yeah, I forget like, what it... Yeah, paraphrasing. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but yeah, something along
that. He used potty mouth. I know that. But he is like, and you know, they even showed a couple clips where he's like on the bench and he gives a look, and he's like the middle schooler. I think Giardi said he couldn't grow Mac Jones probably couldn't grow a beard if you paid him to, but he's got an edge to him. He has the aw shucks balanced out with like, I'm the damn quarterback, so we're going to do it my damn way.
A lot of people even use the word swag. Like Kendrick Bourne did back in training camp. Dante Hightower did again Thursday. Like he's got the swag that I think, I don't know, like this young guy who could pose as an 18-year-old high school kid is now running the Patriots offense, and he has the locker room like on his back.
And he's got a little bit of that, like you never see him coming. Like he's not going to be the over-the-top cocky SOB, and then you're like, son of a bitch, he just beat me, or he just put me in my place, or he just said the right thing. And we know that. I mean, we've learned that firsthand from Stephon Gilmore. You don't have to be, one of these high-end Marcus Peters or whatever corners talking crap all the time to be elite and to be sneaky competitive or quietly confident or, you know, silent assassin type. And Mac Jones has that. Now it's about the next step. Okay, you have you won the job, you beat out Cam Newton, you have the respect of the coaches, you have the respect of the players, controlling the huddle or commanding the huddle was the word James White used a couple weeks ago. Trent Brown talked about, you know, when they screw up, that Mac's the first one to say, do it again. You don't have to wait for Bill to tell you screwed up. Mac's going to tell you guys all screwed up. I really like the way he's handled himself. And if you remember, that was one of the first steps for like Jimmy Garoppolo. How does he handle the media? How does he handle the huddle? How does he handle teammates? And he did all those things well before you get to, yeah, can he run the offense? Can he check to the right play? Can he complete the pass? So, you know, we see it with jersey sales, second most popular jersey, Mac Jones for the last month. Although I always take those with a grain of salt because I think Fanatics sometimes manipulates those to kind of seed this excitement. Ooh, look, everybody's buying Mac Jones. I better go buy a Mac Jones. Like, I'm not going to accuse them or anything, but I'm just saying sometimes I wonder if they manipulate the numbers.
They're in the business. It's not like it's a third party that's doing this themselves. Like,
and they run everything. I didn't know this now. They run it like all like PatriotsProShop.com or whatever is Fanatics. It's all run through Fanatics.
Yep.
So they are benefited from people getting excited about, oh my God, jersey sales are flying. I better go get mine. I want mine for Sunday, blah, blah, blah. But there's a buzz. There's an excitement. There's no doubt around Mac Jones. Now, you were there yesterday. I mean, Gillette Stadium, Mac Jones first big, you know, it's Wednesday. I'm the starting quarterback press conference. How'd you think he handled himself?
Very well. Like, I think that he got, I'm not going to say unfair questions. Like, I don't think he should be asked about Tom Brady, the second question of his first weekly press conference. Like, I thought he handled that answer well. I think kind of like you said, it's like it's not cocky, but it's like confident. Like he has the sneaky, like, yeah, I'm a starting quarterback for the Patriots. Yeah. Kind of like his answer to OMF or MF earlier this week. Like, were you surprised by Cam winning the job? Not really. Like that just, like he just has that quiet, confident vibe that I think translated to the press conference. And I told you earlier, like, he's not a great quote. Like there's not like the pull quote that you put in the headline, but when you actually go back and read his answer, you're like, oh, he answered that question pretty honestly. Like, whereas Tom Brady and some other quarterbacks talk around questions, don't answer questions, give all cliches. So I liked it. It was a good first impression. I'm sure he was a little bit nervous. I'm not saying like he was, you know, oh my God, I have to talk to the media later on today, but like just his first NFL press conference as a starter, I'm sure there was some like watching what he had to say. And so maybe he'll open up a little bit more as the year goes on, but overall, I thought he did a good job.
I thought he did a good job too. I also like, I'm a sucker for football cliches or football like poster lines. he sneaks those into his answers rather often. He's got a bunch of like, well, I always say, and for some reason, we got to be honest here, when Chase Winovich does it, it drives me nuts. Oh, I'd rather be a soldier in a garden than a gardener in a war or whatever. Like, well,
Mac didn't go that far.
No, he doesn't. And they're sneaky. I think sometimes you hear them and you move on and they're like, wait a minute, that was a good line he injected in there, a little phrase. So I do think he does a good job. And we've talked about this. You know, I fought back all along about, oh, you can't start a rookie quarterback in New England and the pressure. He came from Alabama. He had to like compete against Jalen Hurts and Tua and these guys for Nick Saban against the, you know, everybody says, oh, he had great talent around him. Well, yeah, the talent on the other side of the ball every day he practiced was really damn good too. They're all first round picks too in the next year or two. Mm-hmm. So he was built for this. He
competed. But also the pressure of the fan base. They're a rampant fan base too. Like,
I would say worse than anything you're going to get in the NFL.
Yes, I would say so too.
I mean, that's life down there. They don't have an NFL team. They don't have a Red Sox baseball team or a Bruins or like, it's all Alabama.
And they expect national championship every single year.
Well, luckily they get it pretty much every single year. But yeah, no. So I am all in on Mac Jones is ready to compete. That doesn't mean to me he's going to be good, just that he's ready.
How do you think the game plan looks? Like, is it very vanilla, or do you think Josh kind of opens it up a little bit that we might be surprised by?
I think it'll be less vanilla than people expect. I think there will be some shot plays, as they like to call them, maybe some play action, go deep. We've seen him show the ability to throw a nice deep ball, especially down the left sideline to guys who can't catch. Maybe sooner or later, he'll throw it down the left sideline to a guy who can actually catch.
He hasn't thrown it to Nelson Aguilar yet, so he's got a chance to make do.
Although, thankfully, he's one of the three players that's limited on the practice report, right? Jesus.
We'll get to that later.
But, you know, some of the things that'll look good, I think, when he runs them, you know, RPOs, some of that, some creative things. Certainly, I think he has the ability to run some of the screens that are basic plays, but some of those double screens that they like to run, you know, some of that stuff. I'm not saying he's going to
run with Cam.
Yeah. Oh, no. You can get back to some of that stuff you want to do. Again, I don't think they're going to try to throw the ball 35 or 40 times, but I also don't think they're going in saying we can't throw the ball. We have to run and play. No, I think they have some faith in their quarterback's ability to throw.
Well, like last year, Cam Newton caught Brian Flores kind of off guard with his running ability. Could Mac Jones do that with his throwing ability and just the Patriots offense not being the run first team that everybody thinks they might be?
To some degree, yeah, we'll see. Cause I do think it's a good pass defense. It's an aggressive pass defense. We have, you know, two of the better corners in the NFL, right? You have a blitz happy coach who likes to send pressure. You have some decent pass, right? Like, I think that's it was a top six scoring defense a year ago, number one on third down. Like,
good.
This is no cakewalk. That's a good defense.
That was Mac dropped in yesterday. The Dolphins could get on third down.
Oh yeah. He's studying. He's preparing. I like that. You know, as Cam said, he has all the answers when the coaches ask questions, and that's good. That's what I look for from my quarterbacks. So yeah, I'm interested, but I don't think it'll be crazy, but I don't think it'll be crazy conservative either. It'll somewhere in the middle there for Josh.
Well, what would you say, reasonable, passing attempts?
It's hard to say because some of that will be dictated on what their defense does against the Dolphins offense, what kind of a game you're in.
Like, are we saying 35, 40 passes? Or are we talking like in the 20s?
I'd say they'd like to be below that number. I'd say they'd like to top out around 30.
Okay.
You know, if you can get him 22 of 30, somewhere in there in that range, I think you're pretty happy. If you get beyond that, it probably means
you're down
or you're in a shootout or something. Now some of that might be beholden to the ground game too. Like, we'll get into injuries, but Ramondre Stevenson, you know, reportedly has an injury. If he's an issue and then Damian Harris gets nicked up and suddenly you feel like you kind of lost the depth of your running game.
Yep.
Mac, sorry, we got to throw it a little bit more. We got to spread it out a little bit more. So some of that'll be, what does Bill say, as the game declares itself, what kind of game it's going to be. But I'm also not like, I don't think they'd be opposed to what they did last year when 21-11, where you run the ball and control it and play the game on your terms the entire day.
I would say that's the most likely scenario for them to win a game like that.
So you think it's unlikely they win if they get into a game where Mac has to throw it 30 times or ends up throwing it 30 plus times?
See, that's where it gets weird, because I think that's where Mac's probably better. They have a better chance with Tua, going against Tua with that. But I don't know if Mac is ready for that. And the Patriots offense, for that matter.
That's the, you see, you got to the key. You buried it a little bit. You took a little serpentine route to it. Is the Patriots offense ready? And no, I got to tell you, I have some, we'll get into a pick later.
Yep.
But as I preview potentially my pick, I don't think this is a very good matchup for the Patriots offense. I think that's a good secondary and a good pass rush. So that combination, and Bill talked about it, like, that's what they do. They do it well. There's good reason that they do it. Why would you expect them to do anything else? I mean, you have a team that you're not sure how good your receivers are, and you have two of the better corners, and maybe one of the better tandem of corners in the NFL. Good safety play, good pass rush. I mean, I guess using your theory, you run the ball, and if you can do that with regularity.
Well, you run the ball, and then you try to get the ball into Jonnu Smith's hands and those crossing routes and hope he makes some guys miss.
Correct, because I don't know how much you're going to lean on, like, you know, your Jacoby Myers, Nelson
Aguilar. Jacoby Myers could have his standard four catches for 50 yards, but, like, is that good enough to win the passing game? Probably not, unless Jonnu Smith is having 100 yards receiving.
I was going to say, if he's your third receiver with four for 50, yes, that's enough. If he's your leading receiver with four for 50, you're porked.
Which I wouldn't bank on any of the Patriots receivers having more than, say, 60 yards receiving.
No, I think this is definitely a matchup where you say we want to exploit James White, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. As we sprinkle injury information in here, I think it's great that the tight ends do not appear on the injury report. Hunter Henry is a full go. He kind of previewed that with his comments, even though either guy wants to get into their roles. Obviously, that's a no-no in New England with Bill Belichick, but those tight ends that you want to build around look like they're ready for week one after a slow preseason in summer.
James White, I think, is going to be very involved in this game. I think that we talked about it last year. We couldn't figure out whether it was his off the field stuff, which I'm sure played a role in his lack of production. Was it Cam? I think it was more Cam than we give it credit for. Like, I think he's going to have a really good bounce back season. And I think a lot of it will come on those screen plays that I think Josh really likes to run and couldn't last year. With Cam.
Yeah, I do too. I'm hopeful. We got the taste. Was that Philly where he had the long screen pass that it was like, okay, maybe he is back.
It was Philly.
I think it was Philly, but he had a nice screen pass for a 20 plus yard gain in the preseason. I'm rooting for it. Another thing we should sprinkle in as we kind of cover all our bases here. Patriots team captains announced this week. Not to be disrespectful, but a boring list of captains. It's basically all captains they've had in the past. David Andrews, Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, James White, and Dante Hightower. Right? Those are your five.
Yeah. Lawrence Guy, Juwan Bentley, one and done.
The Juwan Bentley one doesn't surprise me. Like, he was kind of forced into that.
Well, then you have Hightower coming back. Like, right. It's natural.
The guy one kind of surprises me. I don't really know why he would lose his captaincy.
Yeah, like, who cares if we have six? No, five is actually low to begin with.
Yeah, I don't. And I know we never know what to make of these, like, players voting, not voting, Belichick.
Well, Bill makes it clear that the players vote, but we all know that he has some say.
Yes, very much has some say in manipulating. Well,
every year he makes it perfectly clear. Players, all players.
And then ex-players make it very clear that it's not all players.
Right.
But yeah, James White, still obviously a leader. And I would love, I mean, if you're talking about guys you can root for or you'd love to see have a bounce back year, big year, take advantage, definitely he is on the top of that list. So I'd like to see him be a big part.
Let's get to the other side of the ball, defense.
Yeah.
Front seven, I think we can feel pretty good about. All the moving pieces, the versatility, Matthew Judon, Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy. I'm confident that front seven will be able to make some plays and have a good game. The back end, I don't know.
Yeah, and you're going to get into a little bit of news in a minute. But I will say, if the Patriots win this game, I think the front seven will be the reason why in their matchup with a Miami offensive line that's dealing with, first of all, isn't
set. When they're also all new, basically.
That's what I mean. And they have COVID issues. They have moving bodies, moving pieces, still trying to figure it out on the fly kind of issues. And the Patriots, we've talked about it all along, the versatile athletes, chess pieces that they're going to be able to throw, not just at that line, but a still young quarterback who, you know, him and his center and protection calls and seeing the same thing. And certainly wouldn't surprise me if we see some of those roaming cow fronts where you just have five, six, seven guys standing up at the line of scrimmage and four or five of them are coming and you need to figure out which four or five and the others are dropping. And, you know, maybe one guy, Dietrich Wise, in the middle with his hand on the ground, everybody else standing up. If they can do that successfully, I think that's why they win the football game. I think that'll be the strongest matchup they have. And that might overcome a matchup we talked about earlier where your receivers don't necessarily match up well with their secondary, or this could be a matchup they could certainly exploit. But you're fresh off the practice field on Thursday, where you have some, I don't know if breaking news, it might be a little strong, but some news.
It's strong. It's just Jalen Mills. He was limited on Wednesday, Thursday. He was out there for the stretching portion, but did not really do much. He kind of just stood with his teammates while they, you know, did their 10-yard stretches, their whatever you call them, side lunges and whatever. He just basically stood there. So I would imagine he'll be limited again. And, you know, this is Thursday. It's not like it's Tuesday. The game's in, what, 4 days? So I would say the it's not likely that he's plays on Sunday.
Now, is that better for the Patriots or better for the Dolphins?
Well, normally you would say, oh, no big deal. But when you have your number one cornerback, Stephon Gilmore, on PUP, and now Jalen Mills is your supposed number two cornerback, now you're going down the depth chart of a position that's not very strong to begin with.
So, Jawan Williams, Sean Wade.
Next site, Justin Bethel. I don't
know. Yeah, I think it could be – that could be a fatal flaw the other way towards the Dolphins, because the Dolphins have had issues keeping their receivers healthy and together, and they haven't really kind of pieced it all together. But Devontae Parker, obviously Jalen Waddle as a young game-changing –
Belichick seemed to like yesterday, Wednesday.
I love him. Now, the one thing is he's got to stay healthy. He did it for 1 year kind of at Alabama. He had a scare this preseason at one point. Looked like it could have been a major injury, wasn't. I think he can change that offense because I think Devontae Parker is a very good – I mean, you look at Devontae Parker's numbers, they were very similar to Jacoby Myers last year. And I think that's what he is, more of a consistent possession-type guy. If you add a game changer, whether it's – I don't know whether you want to compare him to Tyreek Hill or whoever you want to compare Waddle to, but he can be a game changer, a big play guy, slot, can catch it – you know, as Bill would say, can catch it short and take it long, or can catch it long. And as you motion, move guys around and try to get matchups you like against Jawan Williams, who A is a bigger guy, not, yeah. I mean, doesn't have any kind of quickness that you would want against Jalen Waddle. But also Sean Wade, who, what's he been here?
Three weeks.
Yeah. Like still very much in the acclimation process. So he's going to get bumped up a spot if, as you kind of assume or presume, Jalen Mills isn't able to go. What did he do? Like, what did he do while he was out there? Did he have any obvious?
He wasn't limping, but the fact that he couldn't do the full stretching just seems not a good sign.
I just never know whether it's a manipulation or.
It could very well be. I mean, so Mike Reese reported he was limited on Wednesday, but nobody, that could have been from something over the summer. But Mike Reese reported it happened in Wednesday's practice. He rolled his ankle. So. Right. Could it just be, you know, the next day it's still, you know, getting, I don't know. Just the fact that it's Thursday and he couldn't do a full stretching period seems pretty ominous.
And it'll be interesting to see what he is on the Thursday.
Even if he's not 100%, like, do you want to put a Jalen Mills at 50% out there, or would you rather just go with Jawan Williams or Sean Wade?
This is a trick question because I don't want to put Jalen Mills at 100% out there at corner.
That's what I mean. So it's okay. It's a lose-lose.
Yes, it's, I mean, the lack of depth at corner with Stephon Gilmore out is alarming, is concerning.
They mismanaged the Gilmore situation, and it's biting them in the ass probably earlier than they thought.
Definitely. And I'm sure they were more hopeful for Mills and Jawan Williams or whoever.
But do you think they went into training camp knowing that Gilmore was going to start the year on PUP?
Not knowing, but probably thinking it could be a possibility. I don't know. Using the phrase cheaped out seems extreme, but it also seems appropriate. Like,
no one's really reported this, but like, don't you believe that if Stephon Gilmore got a new contract, he'd be on the field?
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind he would be lining up against the Dolphins if he had gotten a $8 million bump in pay or whatever the
number. Been on the practice field like two weeks ago if he got a bump. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't really buy the crap sheet. What was it? Week three.
Well, we were already a week three, but back in week four.
Yeah, whatever. No, I firmly believe this is all financially motivated and driven. And we've talked about it. This is the new age NFL where these hold-ins against the fines. Yep. TJ Watt's going through the whole weirdness in where he's there, but he's refusing to practice, which to me, he's holding out. You might have to tweak the language in your rules that if a guy refuses to practice, you can fine him. Or if, like, he's not willing to take part in drills. And I know it's down there, it's gotten to the point where some of the players, Cam Hayward and others, are like, just pay him. Like, they're
Roethlisberger said it, pay him whatever he wants.
Just begging the organization. Like, it's creating a very weird dynamic. This obviously hasn't gone that way. At one point, I remember we talked to like McCourty and Slater, and they basically said, we support our guy, but that's business. It'll take care of itself. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't taken care of itself. And now he's out of the mix for the first 6 weeks of the season. And you have a lack of depth at cornerback.
Yes. I know it's minor, but like the kicking position, does Quinn Nordin actually kick on Sunday?
I think so.
I don't. I think Folk's a game day activation.
Why?
I think it's some, I for whatever reason, I think they're nervous about losing Nordin on waivers, and this is their way of keeping him around. I think that they'll like hope that all the dust settles with the other teams and they can slide him through either after this game or the next game to get him back on the practice squad and Folk up to the roster. Because if Nick Folk's healthy, why isn't he kicking? Like, if he's not, maybe he's still a little banged up and he's, you know, staying on the practice squad. But if Nick Folk's healthy, why is he even on the roster?
But what if they just like Quinn Nordin and
why'd you bring back Nick Folk? He wasn't gonna get signed.
Why are you asking so many questions? I don't have answers.
I just have a gut that Nick Folk's gonna kick on somebody.
Yeah, I've actually seen some fans kind of like chattering about that on Twitter and wondering about that, alluding to that, like, yeah, I think Nick Folk's, just personally, I'd feel better about it. If you want to make your field goals and you say, I now have a 44-yard field goal to either win or lose, we're down one or whatever late, I would like Nick Folk to run out.
Yeah, me too, because I have fears Quinn Nordin's going to miss the net behind the goalposts.
He could, or he could hit a 57-yarder to win it. Like,
right.
He's like a boom or bust right now, unknown. That's interesting. I mean, we'll see. I like a Ryan Hannibal hot take prediction.
It's minor, but like you're in a position where all your points are going to matter this year and very well this week. Like if you miss a field goal, a 33-yard field goal, that could bite you in the ass.
Not only in the game, but we've talked about this. If you stumble in one of these games long-term, it could cost you a playoff berth or you don't have much of a net to work with. Speaking of your game predictions, we're predicting there'll be a backup quarterback, right?
No, Bill's going to go. Jacoby Myers is going to be backup.
Hey, you never know.
Yes, there will be a backup, I would assume. So I guess if my predictions come true, they'll have two game day elevations from the practice squad, Brian Hoyer and Nick Folk.
Okay. And another practice squad related move or topic that I have absolutely no opinion on or theories or thoughts on. That's why I'm posing it to you. So don't bounce it back to me. Thank you. What's with their thing where a lot of teams protect players on the practice squad and they don't? Like, what do we make of that?
They never did last year either, so it's not like it's a new thing.
But why?
Maybe they don't care. Maybe they feel like if a guy gets claimed, they can just find somebody else that's available and is the same. I mean, you would think it's different. Like, they actually have guys in their practice squad that they value. I mean, we kind of talked about it during the roster, like guys 43 through 60 were pretty much all the same.
This is a dumb way to look at it, I think, maybe, but it's my way of looking at it and them thinking other people are dumb, other teams are dumb. is there any chance that they feel like if they protect a guy, it highlights them for other teams? And possibly. They're like, oh, Bill likes that guy. Oh, we got to add him to the top of our list.
Or, yeah, that's possible. That's
and maybe a little bit.
That's like my Quinn Nordine thing. Like he kind of got a lot of hype around here. And like, so they're nervous. Like, I'm not saying like Quinn Nordine is like at the top of their like list of, we got to keep him around. But I think that they, in the past, we've seen a lot of Patriots players get claimed. And I think that's a thing that they're aware of. The rest of the league kind of looks at that as saying like, hey, Bill liked this guy. Like he was hyped up a lot. Oh, he's available now. Let's get him.
And it's not the dumbest. Like I think guys slip through the cracks. There's a lot of people on waiver wires, transactions. Mm-hmm. And if a team isn't maybe doing its due diligence, for example, totally unrelated, but did you read the story that Chris Mannix had on Sports Illustrated about Paul Pierce talking about the draft and Rick Pitino wanted Dirk Nowitzki. And when Dirk Nowitzki got traded, Rick Pitino's like, holy crap, I didn't do any work on Paul Pierce. Why is Paul Pierce slipping? I don't know. What should we think? Wait a minute. You didn't do any work on one of the top prospects in the draft? You just assumed he wouldn't be there?
Like, and you
no
had,
wonder you sucked as
you,
a GM.
You had how much time to prepare for this? What like, exactly were you doing?
But if that can happen to Rick Pitino, a guy running the Boston Celtics, an egomaniac, supposed mm-hmm. like football genius, I mean, basketball genius, it certainly is possible that other teams could forget who's on the Patriots practice squad. And if you protect a guy, it highlights him. It puts a magnifying glass on him.
Yeah, it goes on that list that every team gets on a given day. And they say, hey, wait a minute. Yeah.
Like, for example, when I was looking at the protected list, some things jumped out at me, like ex-Patriot players, that like Jabal Sheard might be the Dolphins. I don't know. He's on somebody's practice squad and he was protected. And I was like, huh, didn't even know Jabal Sheard was still in the league. Never mind. Like, so I just, it draws your attention to it. The other theory I've heard is the opposite, is they want players to feel respected and like that allowing them to always have the opportunity to go elsewhere might in some ways create loyalty.
But isn't like, if a player is protected, it'd be a safe assumption they could be getting a higher salary. Because not all practice squad salaries are the same, right?
I don't know. Didn't they tighten up some of that?
I was thinking that as I said that. Maybe something in the last couple of years has changed that. But I still don't think all practice squad salaries are the same. Because how would, like, Brian Hoyer's making the same amount as D'Angelo Ross?
No, I think they have two tiers. I think there's a couple tiers with the veterans and the non-veterans, like the four-year-plus vets, vested vets, and
some cap gurus can let us know. Like I know
that's cap. That's on you.
We probably should be. I don't know. I guess we should know a little bit more about it, but we don't.
Well, you should anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just boil it down. Give me a prediction.
Patriots win 24-17. A close game, but they're in control the entire way. Like, I think it's similar to last year. Like, they dictate the way the game is played. They lead from start to finish. Mac Jones is solid, doesn't turn the ball over. Like, I think it's not like a sexy win, but they rely on their defense to make plays, and they come out on top.
I'm torn on this. I've kind of gone both ways. There's part of me that home team, you know, rebuilt, new quarterback.
I don't think Miami's that good.
I kind of agree with you on that, and because I kind of don't think Tua is that good. I know he had a 6-3 record as a starter last year or whatever it was. He also got pulled from a bunch of games because they weren't overly comfortable with what he was doing. There's questions about his leadership in the locker room. Not a captain in his second season.
They just have too many questions. Offensive line, they have guys mixing around. They haven't straightened that out. They have two offensive coordinators. Like, there's just a lot of moving parts that I think that they're – I think they'll be okay this year. I'm not saying they're going to be a below 500 team. I just don't think I think the Patriots are a step ahead of where they are.
I think this is when the game plays out, I think when we do our jerk reactions after the game, I'm going to be like, oh, that was so obvious. We should have seen that coming. But there's a part of me that can make an argument in either direction for the obvious should have seen it coming. Oh, you couldn't move the ball against that secondary and their pass rush got after you. And the rookie quarterback felt the pass rush. Or, ooh, your front seven dominated that crappy offensive line and Tua got rattled. Like, I just think, or Yeah, your offensive line's really good. You ran the ball last year. You're going to run it again this year with Damian Harris. Why wouldn't you just do that? Blah, blah, blah. Like, there's, I feel like it'll be obvious why they won after we see that they won, whichever team does win. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I've seen a lot of scores in your area. Like, a lot of people are saying 20-17 Patriots, 23-16 Patriots.
Like, I'd be pretty stunned if they got 30 or more points.
Unless it, I'd kind of be stunned if either team gets 30 plus points. Right. Unless,
yes, I would too.
Like 14 defensive points or right. a kick return. Or, but we also know the cliches early in the year, kick returns and punt returns, because special teams aren't really.
I feel like these are two good special teams coaches, teams of value, special teams. Like, I think that they'll have their guys ready.
That's probably accurate. Okay. So I am going to be boring. I came into this, by the way, thinking I was going to pick the Dolphins, but I'm not picking.
I talked you into it.
Yes. Homers like you and Giardi talk me out of these things of being objective sometimes. So yeah, I'll take the Patriots to win. I'm going to say even lower than what I'm going to say 17-10 Patriots, low scoring. Both quarterbacks make a few plays, but look like young quarterbacks. Like,
is this a boring game?
I won't say it's boring, because I don't think it'll be overly ugly or mistake filled. Right. I think it'll conservative. Both teams will be pretty conservative with their young quarterbacks. Both defenses, I think, will be the strength to some mm-hmm. degree, kind of control the game. So if you like offense and high scoring in fantasy football, it might be kind of boring, but I don't necessarily think it'll be ugly, just littered with mistakes, kind of boring.
You're right. Right. But it's not going to be like a Tom Brady game where, you know, every offensive possession is must watch. Like, I think there could be some more up than not three and outs, but I think it'll be competitive.
Yes. The Jake Bailey and whoever their new punter is that they signed will probably get some decent work, and we'll probably see some Ghana trying to pick up where he left off as an all-pro punt returner a year ago. Yeah, I think you're right. They'll probably be a decent. Yeah, I'm going to set the number at, let's see, both teams get 918. I'm going to set the number at 9.5 punts in the game.
That's fair.
Ish.
Okay. I'm putting you on the spot because we haven't talked about this. Should we do like season predictions?
You're damn right we should. The season's starting, so we should predict it.
Right. I think that should be. So okay, that would be. No, I'll say that could be a tease to our website for Friday.
Oh, we're going to do written.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. Written season predictions. That's even better, because then we don't have to.
Yeah, think on the spot.
Like, I've thought about it some. Like, I've
right,
seen.
Right.
Seems like the popular Super Bowl is Bills Packers. I'm seeing a lot of out there.
I think the Bills have a good chance of winning the division. I don't think they're ready to take the jump in the conference.
I mean, they were in the AFC title game last year. You go one more game. So maybe if something happens to Kansas City, I mean, it's hard to go to Super Bowl three straight years, right?
But I think with Buffalo, I think kind of like Tampa Bay, a lot of things went right for them last year. Like, they didn't really have any major injuries. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But what about the idea that you're building, like you kept, I think it's huge for them. They kept Brian Daboll with.
No, I do too. Like, I'm not saying they're going to miss the playoffs. I just don't think they're ready to take that jump.
So who is?
Kansas City.
Well, that's not really a jump for them. They're already there.
I don't think anybody in the AFC is ready. Like, you can make an argument that what?
Cleveland.
That's a popular pick, but something always goes wrong in Cleveland. Like,
and you know how last year everybody doubted Josh Allen until you kind of realized you had to stop doubting him?
Yeah.
I think Baker Mayfield, until he proves he is a full season, consistent leader, not going to step in it, not going to fault. Like, I think he's got to prove his stability as well to lead a team.
Well, you talked about it earlier at the start. Those 5 through 15 teams are all in kind of the same boat. And that's where I put a lot of the AFC, put the Patriots right in there, like the Clevelands, the Baltimore's, the Tampa, the Steelers, the Patriots,
the Colts,
like they're all kind of in there. Like, yes, they could win double digit games, or maybe they could stink and only win six.
Yeah. If Carson Wentz is healthy and looks like good Carson Wentz, the Colts are probably going to be pretty good with Frank Reich. If Carson Wentz is hurt, or Carson Wentz looks like the guy who sucked at the end of his time in Philadelphia, then mm-hmm. they're in trouble. And there's a lot of those teams. Like Tennessee yeah. is a team that could be good. You're like, wow, Derrick Henry, Tannehill throwing to Julio.
Julio Jones, yep, yep.
Or, wow, their defense still stinks. They can't stop anybody, blah, blah, blah.
Or Pittsburgh, oh, like Ben Roethlisberger really getting hurt. TJ Watt's not on the field with whatever. Like, there's so many. There's a lot of those teams that you have so many questions about. And so I don't know. The AFC's wide open.
Which is why this time of year is fun. I wrote a little thing this morning about like how everybody has hope, but, you know, using NFL numbers, week one really matters. Like last year, teams that won their division went 8-0 in week one. So they got off to a good start. I think it was 11-3 for playoff teams. Of the 14 playoff teams, 11 of them won on opening day. Like,
that's what I was going to say when we talked about this game. I think this, at the end of the year, when we're talking about the Patriots, whether they made the playoffs or won the division or not, could point to this game as to a reason why, one way or the other.
100%. And that gets me into something real quick. I had a missed call from Ken Laird, our assistant program director, while we were taping this, who I filled in on Laird and Curtis and whatever the hell that Saturday show is they do. And he's telling me, oh, you know, the two biggest games of the year, the Bills or something late in the year. And I said, no, the two biggest games of the year might be the Dolphins. You're battling them, trying to beat them. So then I hear like 2 days later on either Monday or Tuesday on the morning show, this could be the Patriots' biggest game of the year. Think about it. It comes down. I was like, you fraud. You take snake. You said the exact opposite the other day on Saturday, and then you took my opinion.
You must have had a good reason.
Jesus, Jiminy, Joseph. I do think this is a huge game. These two games could swing their season because you can dream of battling the Bills for first place, but you got to prove you're better than the Dolphins.
Well, as you say, by the time you play the Bills, they're both in December, right? So you already haven't know like where you're at by then. Like if you don't, these games matter earlier in the season. Everybody says back when you had Brady, it was, oh, the extension of the preseason. Well, when you can't go 13-3, when you're, you know, battling to go 10 and whatever it would with the 17 game season, 10-7, like these games matter.
What the hell did you just say?
The 17 game season threw me off. Like
you can't go 13-3 if you're going 10-7. I agree. that seems accurate.
When you had Tom Brady, you could very easily go 13-3. You don't have Tom Brady anymore. So
importantly, okay. When you had Tom Brady, you could start 2-2 and go 13-3.
Correct.
If you start 2-2 with Mac Jones, you can eliminate that great season.
Thank you.
I don't eliminate the playoffs or whatever, but yes, you can. You're not going to go on like a 10-game winning streak over the second half and, you know, always win after Thanksgiving and in the month of December and all those records they used to tout in their press releases over the years. Yes, it's a different
time. They still do, by the way.
They still see. I find it. This is a side note on Andy. Andy doesn't like all digital, no printed. Like, I read the Dolphins release. I read the, but I find it hard to consume it or like take it in. Like, I end up just kind of scrolling through.
I am kind of with you with that. I'm in that old school mentality too, where like I like to flip through the game release and like, yeah. I don't know. I rather than scrolling through a PDF, like you're just scrolling through things. When you're flipping through pages, you kind of look. You look more in depth at things.
And I would sometimes like circle a note and then like even rip that page out and just have a pile of like five pages. Oh, these are the five pages I thought had good notes, not, you know.
Yeah, you more have to see it more too, so you retain it better.
Yeah. I don't like the digital age, not good for my brain.
Well, did you notice there's no stats during the game anymore? In the press box, everything's digital too.
See, those didn't bother me as much. I found those, especially like, you know, first quarter summary.
Too many papers, too many people moving around.
Too many people moving, too many trees dying, oxygen being killed. Like, oh.
Yeah, but those 100-page game releases, you need those.
All right. Well, maybe they could just give me like because they all think their 100 pages are good. Give me your five best. Give me your five best pages right
here. Pretend this is like college. Like, we don't need 100 pages. Like, just give me the good stuff.
Give me the good stuff. But that's a good idea. Maybe I could like ask them to like send a synopsis.
Five best pages.
Yep. Don't give me 100, 200. Nope. That's overkill. This isn't the old days. Yeah. Okay. So you're taking the Dolphins to win. I mean, the Patriots to win 24-17.
Yep.
And I'm taking the Patriots.
Oh, I said 21-17.
Oh, 21-17. I'm taking the Patriots to win 17-10 because I don't know. Somehow I allowed you to sway me.
I talked you into it. Yep.
See, I cover my bases here. If they win,
you said, I said. Yeah. If they lose,
I was going to pick them to lose. Ryan talked me out of it.
Fair enough. Just throw me in everything.
Win-win situation.
All right. So we're doing a post-game podcast. What do you think? Monday morning?
Monday morning, Sunday night, whatever works for the Ryan Hannibal schedule, I'm happy to accommodate.
Normally, we'd just do it at the stadium, but with all the COVID stuff, I don't.
Oh, yeah. You might want to remind me Sunday morning that I have to drive to the game. just keep that in mind. I could forget about that and then be like, oh, crap, I'm home.
This is your, what is this, I mean, your first game since week one of last year?
Yep. Well, I went to the preseason game.
No, you didn't.
Didn't I? Nope. I didn't. Oh, that's right. I had a COVID scare. out of an abundance of caution, I stayed home for that game. The other thing that I think swayed me here, by the way, just a little personal note that I'm sure my son does not want me to share, but I will be sharing. Watching quarterbacks make their debut, I may have gotten scared into them not living up to the hype because my son's freshman football debut was a debacle and a half that involved pick sixes and fumbles and so that's part of where I had some trepidation with Mac Jones, but you talked me out of the trepidation.
I was gonna say, isn't that the opposite? But so
no, I think that's why last night, this morning, I was like, he's a rookie quarterback. And Bill's got a good record with rookie quarterback. Jacoby Brissett, debut, win. Jimmy Garoppolo, debut, win. Matt Castle, debut, win. Tom Brady, debut, win.
It said he's 6-0, which I find it, where are they getting the other two from?
Cleveland. Yeah, there were a couple in Cleveland. The piece I did for WEEI.com, I didn't do any Cleveland. But okay. Yes, he had two. He had four here and two in Cleveland. He's 6-0 with rookie debut quarterbacks.
Okay. All right. So,
yeah. Fair enough. Not rookie, debut.
Debut quarterbacks, yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't a rookie. So.
Right. All right, so we'll have a podcast for you Monday morning. May not be first thing, but it'll be Monday morning.
Let's temper the expectations. We'll lower them by mid morning snack break, whatever, you'll have it
by lunchtime. All right. Enjoy football. Football's back. We're excited for the weekend. Starts with Brady and the Bucks tonight against the Cowboys. And then, you get the 4:30 games. So you can watch Red Zone all afternoon, then get ready for Mac Jones's debut.
Well, you watch Mac Jones's debut around here. Most of the country is watching, I think, the Chiefs. This is not a, it's one of those times where you're no longer the national.
It's CBS is like second or third teams, like Trent Green and.
Yeah. And like the only regions getting it are Florida, Miami, England, that basic area. And everybody else is getting Chiefs or something like that. So.
Well, some people don't like Tony Romo calling games. So you don't get Tony Romo this week.
Good. I don't like Tony Romo. Although he likes him some Mac Jones, sure Drew Brees. Those guys are all gushing over Mac Jones, the Patriots offense. We'll see if they're right. We'll see if they're back.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you Monday morning. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.